Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Sorry we're a little late, but that was not Julie's fault, which is hard to believe, but on the producer's end. There's Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden here on the True Straight
True
Up.
True Straight Up, brought to you by Denver Cinegenics and Dr. Julie McCallan, as well as AmericasCitizenPress.com. Hey, we're going to jump right into it today. We're lucky to have with us Robert Spencer. He's been writing a ton of columns lately. I wrote his latest at PJ Media. I'm also, people who've listened to us for a while, we've had him on over the years. He's with Jihad Watch. So Robert, first off, let me say thank you and welcome to, we call our Friday show is the Party Friday show. So welcome to Party Friday.
Well, great. Thank you very much. Where's the open bar?
Yeah. You know, we would have one, but after the show ends, I have to go pick my son up at school. And I always worry about, you know, that's bad when the mom staggers into the school.
Better for the dad to do that.
Yeah. It's better for the dad to do that. Well, hey, I wanted to talk to you about your column, and anyone listening will be glad to know you can forget about pesky doctors and having to pay any attention to medical advice, because according to the FDA chief, the leading cause of death in America is misinformation and disinformation. So thank God for the Biden administration's Ministry of Truth.
Yeah, you know, it's really insidious what's going on here. It's absurd. It's ridiculous, but it's also ominous, because what we have is, of course, the Disinformation Governance Board. A lot of people don't know about this. As a matter of fact, I was out and about today in town here, and I was in conversation with a couple of people. I said, what do you think of this Disinformation Governance Board? Nobody had heard of it. And I think the establishment media is not reporting on it.
Right.
And that's also part of the problem, because they know people would be enraged.
Well, my daughter thought it was a joke when I told her about it. She told me to quit being a conspiracy theorist. I'm like, no.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Exactly. So they're starting this thing. We don't know what its responsibilities will be. We don't know what the penalties will be. Nobody is talking. What we have is contradictory information, but we also have, as you noted, these people who are clearly laying the groundwork for the American people to buy this, to accept it. And right. So the head of the FDA is actually with a straight face on the Sunday morning talk show saying, well, you know, yeah, there's heart disease and cancer, but the real cause of death is misinformation. And so obviously the other shoe that's going to drop is we have to stamp it out. We have to silence these misinformation peddlers so that people will not die anymore.
Right. Well, and that's been my thing, is they know that the American people, at least for right now, the majority of people believe in free speech and they don't like censorship. But when they did it, as they started with COVID, for our own safety, for our own good, then that sort of changes things.
If you look at it in a larger sense, isn't it true that more deaths are caused by misinformation? Doctor gives you the wrong thing. The FDA says that
vaccines work and
they don't. Intervention doesn't work and it does. You get bad, faulty intelligence in Ukraine and, you know, 50,000 are dead from that. And so in some greater sense, maybe it's true and we need the government's help.
Oh, yeah. With the government, because they'll always take care of us.
Yeah,
right,
they
will.
Always trust what they'll say.
Yes.
Well, and I'd like you to go into a little bit more, because on one hand, it sounds so absurd that the FDA chief would say the main cause of death is misinformation. But I'd like you to go a little bit more into it, because you did a great job in the column. He did indeed actually say that, right? Forget gunshot wounds, forget car accidents, forget, you know, cancer.
Old age.
And not only did he say it, but he said it in a way that conceded that he didn't actually have any data.
Yeah. Now, this is the FDA chief. This isn't just some guy saying, this is a head of, who was basically not really dealing with the whole baby formula shortage, which is what he should be looking at. But go ahead and explain what he said.
Yeah, I have it right here. He says, I have to acknowledge that there's no way to quantify this. So in other words, first thing he says is, what I'm about to tell you, is BS. Full, total propaganda and hogwash. But
I'm going to
buy it anyway, because I'm the FDA chief and you're not. So he says, I have to acknowledge there's no way to quantify this. So I can't say, you know, the numbers come out just like they would heart disease or cancer. And so he's admitting that this is total nonsense. And he goes on, but let's look at it. You know, we're in a country now which is seeing an erosion in our life expectancy. So we're now living an average 5 years shorter than the average of other high income countries. Now, this is all based on estimates, but it's quite disturbing. And so then he actually, once again, this guy is having trouble departing from rationality, but he's trying really hard. So he's, now that he's already mentioned that life expectancy in America is lower, supposedly, then he says, so let's look at the causes of death. As you correctly said, heart disease, cancer. And so once again, sorry, I went back to reality. Let me try again to go to fantasy world. And so then he says, well, see, with COVID, we know the situation is, he says, we know that if you're vaccinated and up to date with your vaccinations, you have a 90% reduction in the risk of death.
There you go.
And then if you're unlucky enough to get infected or unfortunate enough, another 90% reduction in death with the antivirals, which are now available.
Sure.
Now, of course, none of this is true, but that's true. So almost no one in this country should be dying from COVID if we were up to date on our vaccinations and got appropriate antiviral treatment. What has concerned me for a long time before the pandemic. And so you see, this guy, he's in a real struggle. I feel bad for him because I should actually note, I haven't said his name. It's Robert Califf.
Right.
C-A-L-I-F-F. And he is the commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration. But you can just see the wheels turning and the struggle going on in his mind. And so now he's saying, well, see, look, COVID, and it's very clear where he's going, right? He's going to say, if it weren't for all these people spreading misinformation and saying the vaccines don't work and all that, then everybody would be vaccinated, nobody would be dying, and everything would be great. But then, once again, reality intrudes. And he says that I lost the place here. Yes, so no one is, but what has concerned me for a long time before the pandemic is that we're seeing this reduction in life expectancy from common diseases like heart disease. So he was just about to nail the what down what he wanted, which is to say it's misinformation causing all these COVID deaths. And then he says, well, actually, you know, I've been worried about this before there was COVID.
And so they're going to have to work on his messaging. Jen Psaki is going to say he's going to circle back to you, unless you can't anymore. But I think, well, you're right. I mean, so
Karine,
that's, I mean, we won't even go into all of the statistics now and the information coming about up about this unexplicable, although I could probably explain it, rise in deaths from the 18 to 35 year old people, right? The insurance companies are noting it. We won't talk about the fact that the only people being hospitalized anymore and dying are people who are triple, multiple vaxxed and boosted. So put that aside, but I think you're right. They're trying to frame misinformation as a danger, as a public health hazard, and not, because it's like, they can't trust doctors. We learned that, right? Because we had some doctors like ours saying, well, I'll get you some ivermectin, right? And you already had it, so you don't need it. So we got to get rid of them. And it's, they want to be able to say once again, well, you know, you're spreading misinformation about whatever, and that's dangerous.
But what's amazing is, you know, during the first Iraq war, maybe it's the second, I guess the second, Baghdad Bob would come out. They're running them out of Iraq. They're on the ends. You know, we're doing great. There's no problems. And you wondered back then, you know, how could a public official, even the Iraqi government, could just lie, know he's lying, and get out there? And you kind of, well,
mostly peaceful protests.
Yeah, because they'd shoot him if they didn't, and so forth. Here, but you get people like Mayorowitz or whatever the
Jankovic.
No, the head of it.
Okay.
Well, but the head of the of Homeland Security.
Mayorkas.
Mayorkas. And they'll ask him, is Jankowicz neutral? Oh, yeah, she's not biased at all. Well, that's just absurd on his face. I mean, but he's saying it kind of go, I know I'm lying. I don't care I'm lying. I'm Baghdad Bob. And that's true for the whole administration. They're going to go, of course we're lying. We no longer embarrassed. This guy at least was a little embarrassed having to lie.
I love that. His head that would guy. Kind
of, oh, you know, I'm lying again.
Baghdad Bob was so entertaining, and I'll never forget the time that he says, he's actually saying, we have the American troops on the run, and they're fleeing into the desert, and they're behind him, entering Baghdad in the picture. And I think you're absolutely right. Mayorkas and all these guys, it's as if they got Baghdad Bob and brought him over here for media training for the Biden administration.
And then the good news is, I think, is they tend to push it too far, right?
Too far.
I mean, it's like, you know, the COVID stuff. Okay, people can see that's not working. People can see the stuff that they're doing in schools. People know that misinformation is not the leading cause of death. And I mean, maybe, I guess maybe they can quit worrying about police shootings and things like that anymore. It's all just, you know, misinformation. And so hopefully people wake up. But what you said earlier, though, I think is really concerning. And that is, you know, you're talking to just regular average people. And I've had that conversation too. And they think I'm joking when I say this. And they literally don't believe me when I'm like, no, it's true. There's a disinformation governance board in the government now that's in charge of this.
Julie.
Yeah.
There you go again. But actually, that's what they're counting on.
Right.
That's actually part of the strategy. Because, yeah, they're lying, and it's clear. Nothing could be clearer to us that they're lying. But what about the people who still think CNN's a news source?
Right.
And still read the New York Times and think, oh, the New York Times, the prestige. Oh, right. It's off the charts. And so Mayorkas says this, that Jankiewicz is nonpartisan. And Jankiewicz is this absolute lunatic for censorship, singing songs about censorship is. And who's the New York Times reader going to believe? Mayorkas, who thinks all the right things and believes everything you're supposed to believe to be in the leftist club, or who, Chuck and Julie Spencer? Come on, they're right-wing, bigoted, hate-mongering racists. Forget it. You know, and so actually the smearing that they've done of their opposition all these years, it's in service of their agenda now, because these people have nowhere to go. They know, or they think they know, that we're not trustworthy. So the only thing they can do is figure, well, Mayorkas, you know, he wouldn't be lying to us. He's such a good guy.
Yeah. They wouldn't totally lie. Well, where do you see this going? You know, I mean, like you said, when you've got literally the FDA chief saying that misinformation is the leading cause of death in America.
You've got the FBI, which is just totally off the rails. You got the CIA, which is a criminal. I mean, you know.
Laptop from hell.
Yeah, I mean, what's left? You go to the Weather Bureau and they go, oh, this is, you know.
Well, that's climate change.
That's right.
It's been lovely in Colorado this week. Now, last week, it was like 41 degrees, right? This week it is. And so the Channel 7 meteorologist is basically saying that it's a La Nina, but the reason La Nina is there is because of climate change. And people are like, well, it must be climate change, I guess.
So, you know, Americans used to have sports. Okay, I'll just get myself lost. I don't have to listen to it. No! Turn that NBA game on and you'll be all set. I mean, there's no place left to go. There's no place
That's true. Well, that's the hallmark of a totalitarian state.
Yeah.
Everything is politicized and you can't get away from the totalitarian state's message.
Right.
And I saw this, it's descended so rapidly in the summer of 2020 after George Floyd was killed.
Right.
And I thought the same thing you did, Chuck. I was thinking, I'm going to take the afternoon off and get away from all this nonsense and I'll find some movie. So I go to Amazon to find some movie, and the first row is all race propaganda agitprop. And it was all set up everywhere. I went to see a baseball game. MLB.com has resources for allyship, and it's all this communist propaganda and race hatred. And it was everywhere.
It
and
is.
It still is.
I'm talking with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch and great columns.
And here, just so you know, Robert, so Charlene is saying you're a great guest. Dr. Donna agrees. People are loving you over in our comment section.
Thanks, comment section.
You know, and I think one thing too, that we've been talking about this, and that's why I was so glad to see your column, because it is easy to kind of, like you said, blow this off and say, no, it couldn't, you know, it's not going to go. But I think they are serious about this. And there is a method to it, I think, a strategy behind it to tie it, not to censorship, but to health. And now misinformation, it's literally, according to the FDA chief, killing us. And who wants that, right? You don't want dead people because of Hunter Biden's laptop store. I mean, to me, it's just so insidious. But I worry that it will be effective.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I think the only thing that we can hope for now is that this Disinformation Governance Board gets challenged in the courts quickly and struck down, which it's flagrantly unconstitutional. It ought to be struck down immediately as violating the First Amendment. Right. Whether it will be or not, the Supreme Court ought to strike it down. And so there needs
to they're afraid to go to their office. So they can't.
Yeah, they can't go to the office because of all the protesters. Well, you know, and here's something that's scary, though, too. And that is in Colorado now, we have a governor, you know, extremely progressive Governor Polis. And they set up the Democratic legislators there, it's sort of like a task force to help teach school kids how to avoid misinformation and disinformation. And headed by Kyle Clark, not headed by, he's honored, who's like this extremely progressive, biased news anchor, right? And that fact that no one is complaining about this, they're like, well, this is good. Let's teach our kids how to tell disinformation. And you're like, but you're the disinformation people, you know?
That's the idea.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. You know, the idea is to program the school children into thinking that views that dissent from those of the state are harmful and dangerous and they ought to avoid them.
Yeah.
And it's just like actually, you know, in the Soviet Union,
right,
when they would teach the children how wonderful and meritorious it was if they turned in their parents, if their parents were complaining about Stalin or whoever. And it's a lot the same that, you know, this disinformation business in the schools, it's going to be, well, you know, you might go home and your parents will say Biden's an idiot suffering from dementia who's just a figurehead for Barack Obama and is intentionally trying to destroy the American economy in service of socialist internationalist goals. And then you will know that your father is an enemy and a fascist hate monger, and you have to turn him in to the Disinformation Governance Board.
Right, which it'll be a crime now because it's under the Department of Homeland Security. So then they'll knock on your door. Well, what about, you know, maybe let me ask you to compare, because I know we've talked to you before and you're an expert on things in the Middle East where there's not a giant in some countries First Amendment. How do people there fight and get to the truth, or do they just not? Or how do they fight to it? And I guess, is there any lessons for us there?
In the Middle East?
Uh-huh.
Well, you're not talking about an absolute bastion of democracy.
Right, right. I mean,
in Israel, things work pretty much the way they work here. And they also have the Israeli left, which if anything is even more toxic than the left here. But in the other Middle Eastern countries, there's no free press and there's no free exchange of information. If you criticize Erdogan in Turkey, you're liable to go to prison. And you criticize Islam in any of these countries, you could be killed. So comparatively speaking, we're still much better off. We're able to have this conversation in peace and freedom. Nobody's going to come knocking on our door at 4 a.m., at least not yet.
Yeah.
And so we've got it better than quite a lot of the world at this point.
In those other countries, though, do the people, are they fooled or do they just keep their mouths shut? I mean, it, like
in Syria.
Yeah.
Well, how do you get to your quality information?
Well, no, but
no. I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, I mean,
the internet is everywhere.
Yeah,
and so the information is out there to be had if you have the determination to get it.
Right.
It just depends on what you do to act upon that information carries with it certain penalties in a state like Syria. And also, of course, in Islamic culture in general, there is a tremendous discouragement for both questioning and for disobeying the ruler. Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, there's a statement, a saying attributed to him that you should obey your ruler even if he's an Ethiopian with a head like a raisin. Now, this is often invoked because it's such a racist statement. It's often quoted for that. And then people forget the other part of it, which is that he's essentially saying you obey the ruler no matter what, no matter how bad a guy he is.
Sounds like a pretty good description.
It sounds Biden.
Of Biden.
Well, yeah. It sounds like, well, and in a way, that's what's scary, because we forget that in this country, like, really what a shining beacon we are. And that I'm sure people like Biden and the Ministry of Truth here looked at these other countries and said, well, look, it's working great over there. We just need to stomp these stupid Americans into shape, and then everything will be hunky dory.
That's exactly the idea. America is the big obstacle with the freedom of speech. And so that's the big target now. Europe is already throwing it away. The European Union warned Elon Musk that if he reinstated freedom of speech on Twitter, that they would pull the plug on Twitter in Europe.
Right.
But the United States and the First Amendment, these are the big obstacles to this authoritarian enterprise. And well, so
I didn't want to get
war against it.
I did want to get your views, if you have any, on the new Saudi Golf League, LIV, that's going into London and I guess backed up by some financial thing controlled by the Saudi government. They'll throw a few $1 billion in there to get some golfers to play in their tournament. I mean, why would they want to waste, assuming it's wasted, billions of dollars on a kind of a second-class tier golf tour?
Well, I know that the Saudis, I don't know anything about golf, first off, but I do know that the Saudis are in an all-out effort to improve their image worldwide. And, you know, a lot of people think this is this crazy place where women can get arrested if you drive, and they still have the public stonings and all these things. And so the Saudis realize that the oil-based economy is on its way out. With all this green hysteria in the West. And so they're trying to diversify their economy, but the only way they can do that is to make the country more attractive to foreign investment. And the only way they can do that is to get rid of some of their more lunatic laws. And so I suspect that having a golf tournament in Saudi and throwing all this money at it is all designed to, as part of that effort.
That makes sense.
The golf tournaments are not in Saudi
now, and all the rest of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. The golf tournaments are not in Saudi Arabia. These are ones in London, in the United States, and elsewhere.
Oh, still works the same way, though.
Yeah, same theory.
The Saudis are sponsoring it. You think, oh, well, they're not such bad guys.
They're playing golf.
Yeah.
Golf. All right. Well, Robert, we have to let you go. Where can people find out? Because people are loving you in our comment section. Where can people read you, find out more about you, keep up to date with what's going on with you?
Well, I'm at jihadwatch.org, which is the only news site that tells you about what's going on in the jihad every day around the world. It's a lot more than you think. And I have a new book, The Critical Quran, which is a brand new Quran, new translation, commentary. It's clear. A lot of translations, they try to cover up what the Quran actually says. This one makes it clear and gives you commentary to show how mainstream Muslims understand it. Available now anywhere self-respecting bookstores exist.
All right, Robert, thank you so much.
Take care. Have a great weekend.
Good to see you, folks.
Have a great weekend.
Nice to see you, too. Thank you there. Robert Spencer, jihadwatch.org. And again, I've been reading him at pjmedia.com.
Quran with commentary would be a very great book to get.
I can already see Chuck writing down.
Birthday coming up in a few years.
All right.
Well, we've got going from the world of the Quran to the world of Colorado. We've got State Representative Ron Hanks, who's the top line leader in the Republican Party. He's faced off against Joe O'Day, who'd never run for anything before, but. He's out there. So, Ron, are you there?
I sure am. How are you folks doing today?
Just great.
Have you caught up on your sleep? Now, the legislative session ended Wednesday, I guess. Have you been able? And you guys didn't get much sleep, but you did a great job trying to save our state.
Well, thank you for that. And no, I did not get a lot of sleep. And we instantly drove west. I'm in Silverton right now. holding multiple events, and was over in Ridgeway a little bit earlier, and up in Montrose last night. So we are hitting full campaign mode at this point and getting the message out that I'm a solid conservative senatorial candidate.
All right, as you are. I mean, we've supported you from the beginning. Let's maybe kind of give you an opportunity to talk about how is it. I mean, you know, yeah, you had the pesky legislative session that you had to attend. But now that you've hit the campaign trail hard, how's it going? What are you hearing from people? What's the support like?
Well, it's been great. It's been truly about 24 hours of meeting, you know, only in the last 24 hours. But, you know, we are meeting people that are very concerned about the issues that I am running on. And those are national security issues. And we are point to point to point here. We are finding people that agree that we are in a real serious situation with this Biden regime in power and Michael Bennett enabling them. And I'm sure you've already covered Bennett wanting to have a new department that overlooks Twitter and Facebook.
Yes, I saw he was
tweeting that today. There you go. Because we don't have a number one, because we don't have enough government departments right now. But isn't that the Ministry of Truth Department, right? The Disinformation Governance Board, I guess, is what is his plan? Like the FCC isn't doing it, or they're not. No one's clamping down on things enough. So we need to do more. I mean, what?
It's mysterious. I mean, if the First Amendment isn't already under enough threat, I guess we need one more agency just to make sure. And it seems a pretty poor move on at any time. But I don't think it's going to fly very well during an election season. So quite remarkable. We are really dealing with an onslaught of just unadulterated socialism, and at the state level and at the federal level, and we've got to put the brakes on it.
But before you get to take on Bennett directly, you've got to beat Joe O'Day, who petitioned on, never run for anything before, actually contributed to Bennett back in 2010 some money. And he has what he stands for is very difficult to determine. He's just conservative and not a politician. So how do you fight against just kind of a blubber ball out there kind of going, I'm conservative. Yeah, that's it. I'm not
vote
a politician.
For me, because I have like a lot of money.
I made some money and I deserve to be senator now. And KBB likes me.
I mean. Well, I guess I'm going to have to push back on the conservative label that he put on himself in the first place. I don't see it. The idea that social issues aren't going to be an issue in this election is short-sighted and quite remarkable to me. I guess he doesn't want to talk the abortion issue. And we had the longest floor fight in Colorado state history fighting abortion. And when we were done fighting it, there were several hundred people out on the Capitol steps applauding and rooting us on. So it is not as if it is an issue that nobody is paying attention to.
Right.
So that's just a fundamental mistake right there.
But how do you get your message out? As a practical matter, all this press is center left or left. And if they give you any publicity, it'll be bad publicity. It will never give you good publicity. You've got, you know, like all good mega ones, you don't have much money. O'Day has maybe 40 times as much money. You really can't send out mailers. You really can't do advertising. I mean, you can meet with small groups of people and hope to convince those you do, but then it's all up to the zeitgeist, I guess, because it's you're never going to be able to tell people that O'Day stands for nothing. He's really just Mitt Romney. He's just one more guy who'll be great with
he'll vote for Ukrainian aid and things
like that. Yeah, billions for Ukrainian aid. I mean, you know, he's just a soft pillow of just privilege, even though he started.
Well, I guess Chuck, I don't see it quite so dire as you. I mean, we have we have some opportunities up our sleeves here, and some we have some room to maneuver, and I think we're going to surprise people. And frankly, the message is a little bit less extreme than the left-wing media is playing it. And it's interesting to watch the media talk about us and then get a chance to go out and talk to the people and kind of correct the record. But listen, people know who I am. They saw me fight on the floor of the House, and they've seen my positions. They saw me at the assembly. That's another interesting point, Chuck and Julie, is that, you know, the media would have you believe, and even some of the establishment pundits in the party would say that, you know, this is a bunch of knuckle-dragging Republicans at the assembly. But the fact is, most of those people were brand new. Some of them had to re-register back as Republicans because they got so frustrated with the party, they went unaffiliated.
Well, they're new knuckle draggers. They're just, to them, they're new knuckle draggers. Brand new knuckle draggers.
Well, no, I appreciate the interjection because that's pretty funny because it's not true. You know, I mean, these are Americans, patriotic Americans concerned about their country. And frankly, all Americans are going to be concerned about their own budgets, their economy, and Bennett and Biden will bring people out into this election that aren't particularly interested in politics because gas is going to be $5 a gallon, diesel's $5.50, and when diesel hits $5.50, a gallon of milk is going to start costing more than it does now, and a tub of butter. And it's going to be back to the Carter-Reagan thing where, remember when Reagan stood up there and said, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And the answer was no. And people that don't like politics are going to still know the answer to it.
Well, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you about, because I think this is why it is so important to send people like you to the Senate. You had on this $40 billion vote to Ukraine, all these weasel Republicans. Yeah, and what did they did? One a senator stood up and said, we're at war. I guess he just unilaterally
declared. You can't criticize the president during
because
time of war.
We're at war with Russia. I mean, and thank goodness for Rand Paul, who is putting a stop on it. But you'd think, you know, you've got this uniparty there where Mitch McConnell's like, oh, yeah, you know, in fact, $33 billion isn't enough. That's give them $40 billion.
How about 44?
And you've got all these weaselhead Republicans voting in lockstep with the Democrat swamp. And that's why I'm assuming you would say, hey, let's at least ask questions before we give them money, right? I mean, that's why I think it's important to get guys like
They'll spend it well, though, we know.
Yeah.
And 10% for the big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Julie, my biggest concern about what we're doing in Ukraine is we are slapping Putin in the face with our glove and expecting that he's just going to take another slap. I mean, when we fought El Qaeda and we put a beating on them, they really didn't have much choice except to take it. But when we're selling weapons to Ukraine at this stage of the game, we are slapping Putin, and he has a lot of options at his disposal. So I think we are getting set up for a confrontation with Russia that we didn't need to have. Biden's a weak leader, shouldn't be there, can't negotiate anything anyway. And if Trump were still there, I don't even think Russia and Ukraine would
ever happen.
Well,
I agree.
One correction, we're not selling anything to them. We're giving them absolutely everything, including their pensions, their salaries. There's no selling of anything. Forget that.
Our soul.
Well, I wish we'd have delivered it before Russia started, because at least at that point we could say, hey, we're just helping a friendly country. Now we're helping the opponent of a foreign power that has more nuclear weapons than we do. I know this because I worked the START treaty, and we negotiated away more than they did, and they have about 2.5 times the number of warheads. I'm not saying this is going to go nuclear, but I'm just saying that Putin can do a lot of damage to us. None of it needed to happen in the first place. This lands squarely on the desk of Joe Biden. the incompetence.
Well, and you raise a good point because, you know, it's one thing to have a forever war in Afghanistan, right? Which, you know,
that's what they're there for.
Well, but I mean, they're trying to push a forever war now in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Russia may be like, you know what? We need to end this. So we're just going to end this. It's a dangerous game they're playing.
Yeah, I'm totally disgusted with it. And frankly, the next problem I see is that Michael Bennett is an absolute enabler of Joe Biden, the incompetent. And, you know, we can start to solve this problem by getting rid of some of the enablers. And then ultimately we can get rid of Joe Biden. Well, and it can't happen soon enough.
Do you have any debates coming up with Mr. O'Day?
You know, Chuck, I do, but we were so deep in the schedule of the House of Representatives that I gave my schedule to other people to manage. I don't know what dates, and I'm just coming out of the fog of war and of being down there in the last 72 hours of a session. So the answer is yes, but I cannot tell you when and where they are.
Well, I know. Thank goodness you got, you know, we talked a little bit about the fact that Christy Burton Brown put out a thing saying, oh, your campaign, I heard back from you on that, whatever, the Capitol luncheon. And I got a new invitation to it with your name on it there. So I'm glad that all got worked out. So at least you had that.
Christy playing it fair, playing right down the middle, neutral. You'd never know who she's for. Never know.
I'm just happy to go buy a lunch somewhere with all of the great people of the Colorado GOP. So
there you go.
I look forward to the event whenever it is. I'll be there. I'm happy to be there.
Let me just ask you, because then we'll let you go because I know you're busy. But I want to just get your take on the legislative session that just wrapped up. I mean, the Democrats were whining, saying that you guys weren't letting them ram through.
You weren't total laydowns.
Yeah, you weren't total laydowns. I mean, what were you able to... Well, thank you first for doing that, right? But what were you able to accomplish? Yeah.
Well, you know, I would say one of the biggest moments was that abortion bill, fighting against it, setting a record. In the end, the vote was 41-24, just as we expected. But we showed some fight. We showed more fight than they'd ever seen on the floor before. And that was important. The collective bargaining agreement bill that just came through for the counties, we got an amendment put on it that exempted counties with less than 7,500 population. And that exempted, I think, 20 counties altogether. That's not great, but it's something. The fentanyl bill, worked on pretty hard, and you know, I don't think that nothing came of that. It's a bad bill in my estimation. The law enforcement wanted the penalties to start at 0 grams, and and we didn't get that. But you know, we're still trying to some degree figure out what just happened. You know, we have to do assessments on the battle damage that was incurred. But I can tell you this. We spent $38.6 billion of Colorado's money, and I made this point on the floor. Last year, we spent $34 billion, and in the interim year, this Colorado government, destroyed tens of thousands of family businesses and tens of thousands of family budgets. Absolutely. Yet our budget managed to go up by more than 10%. So the business of government is doing very well.
It always does.
All right. Well, Ron, where can people, if they want to catch up with you, if they want to donate, if they want to help figure out, you know, where you're going to be, where can people go?
Yeah. When they find out, if they could call me.
They can call you up and let you know.
It is hanksforcolorado.com. That's Hanks, F-O-R, Colorado. And we've got some good videos on there, not just me blowing up Dominion machines.
That's your best
favorite
one. But... That's your best one. That got you where you are today.
Well, there you go. I guess I'll have to find some more things to put out on the range.
But that always works. That always works.
Yeah, just blow stuff up. There's a whole YouTube channel of a guy that just blows stuff up.
Yeah, so... talk to him.
No.
Well, There you go. I hadn't thought of that, but planted the seed. Thank you both very much.
All right.
Take care, Ron. Best of luck.
Thank you both. I always enjoy it.
All right.
Ron Hanks there. Hanks from Colorado. Let's see that. I apologize. We've had some great comments here on the chat section. I haven't been able to get to them. Zelensky is blackmailing the Dems. He knows all about Burisma in Ukraine. He'll let the world know. You know, you got to wonder what they do know. Leo says, never thought of that. Good point. Dr. Donna says, now they fool people by leading them to believe the government is going to save them just in time for an election. Yeah. Exactly. And then Stephen says, the average citizen is most concerned with crime in the economy, not election integrity. Election integrity, election fraud, and stolen election is a tar baby in Colorado. Yeah, I would say that, Stephen. On the other hand, though, if we don't get a fix, it's not going to make any difference.
Yeah, they'll just rig the election. It doesn't matter what the average citizen is concerned about.
I think it is something we need to be paying attention to. Real quick, wanted to talk about a couple of points that are kind of interesting. Mark Elias, the Lawfare Clinton guy, right? Yeah. Who is the Durham trial against Sussman starts next week, I think, right? And he's been called as a witness. There was a time when the BLM, remember, they're having a hard time because next week they have to start explaining what they did with the $90 million they raised, right? They bought some houses. Well, they had given their books over to Mark Elias in February. Only now Mark Elias is like, no, busy. he's not listening to any of the paperwork. So you got to wonder what's going on with that. And also, I saw a tweet, Dinesh D'Souza and Tucker Carlson have made up. Everything is good between them. So I'm not sure what really happened on that. I will say this. Dinesh D'Souza, I was critical of Tucker Carlson for saying that Catherine Engelbrecht couldn't promote 2,000 mules. But Dinesh D'Souza released a whole Twitter thread, ostensibly to attack Tucker's producer, who was kind of a jerk in the thread. I'll say that.
But so was
Dinesh a little bit. Mm. And Dinesh wanted to force the Tucker Carlson people, by his own admission, to run the full 90-second trailer. And they said, no, we can only run 45 seconds. And then he said, well, if you don't run the whole thing, you can't have it. There was a mishmash there. So I think my point there is, which makes me feel good, because I was like, I want to like Tucker Carlson. I want to believe in somebody out there.
Well, the rest of Fox stinks. I mean, corporate Fox.
Corporate Fox
is all for, you know, Karl Rove and the whole thing. Susan Scott, who's the whatever it is, the head of programming at Fox, is just a total libtard.
Yeah, you got Brett Baer and Shannon Beam. So the one good guy. So I just in our thing for Truth State Up, I like Dinesh D'Souza too. But I would say, having been in the media for many years, you don't really ever, the producers are the one who talk about how long the segment is, right? You don't get to dictate that. Granted, the producer there was kind of a jerk about it. But like I said, Dinesh was sort of a jerk back, I would say, just true straight up here. But anyway, he and Tucker made up, all is well. They still didn't show the trailer, but we'll see
and
what goes on.
All of you who have been in withdrawal, and I certainly have been, Depp v. Heard comes back Monday. Just in time.
And a little teaser. So I didn't read, but I've been reading all about this, and Chuck will let, because we can have a couple of seconds here, brilliantly explain this. So apparently, somewhere in the testimony, Amber Heard started talking about Kate Moss, who apparently dated Johnny Depp one time, and Amber Heard made some reference to Johnny Depp pushing Kate Moss.
She didn't quite say this. She said, in my mind came Kate Moss and stairs.
Yeah, kind of insinuating that Johnny Depp pushed Kate Moss down the stairs. But when she said that, apparently Johnny Depp's attorney turned around and went, yay. Yeah. And Johnny Depp, they were smiling. So their attorney, the Depp attorneys were thrilled that Amber Heard said that. And I said, you know, why do you think that is?
It's one of two things, or both. One is now they can bring Kate Moss on to say she wasn't pushed down the stairs. I don't think you'd get all that excited about that, because you just reemphasize the negative point and the whole deal, and then they get to cross-examine. I'm not sure. But now maybe he can bring up her own
domestic violence.
Arrested for domestic violence. And she said before, you know, it's wrong to ever hit a man or one of my girlfriends. and so if they bring that up, her arrest, for domestic violence. And that's huge. That's
huge. And I'm just having watched a million trials, almost like literally, I mean, you hardly ever see defense. They always just sit there. Right? They never go, yeah. And you just know Amber Heard's lawyers are like, wait, what? What just happened? So your withdrawal ends on Monday.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, everybody, if you follow this at all, people are going nuts. They know they've got another 72 hours until the gavel hits down. They're extending the days.
And Chuck will be extremely productive.
I will be totally productive for the entire remaining week of the trial. Although I have to be productive, got to get the paper. A button!
Oh, well. Yeah, if the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle doesn't come out next month in June on time, it's because of the Depp Purge trial. No, not really. Hey, everybody, thank you. As always, we love having all you guys on Zoom. ChuckandJulie.com is a place to go for links to our show, which is everywhere.
And everything.
And everything. We love the guys on Zoom. Thank you, everyone listening. And thank you to the great guys at BBS Radio.
Even if we started a little
late. We started a little late, but that's all right. They said we could go long, but we got to go get
fast. I know, they're nice. They're
so great. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful
Thanks,
weekend.
Everybody.
We'll see you Monday.